I didn't realize that, like, I was starting to put it together once Jordan sent that thing out, the podcast out. Because it was like real estate entrepreneur, life on the avenue. And then somebody put a little note that said, like, trolley, something about trolley, you know, vibes or something. Like, they're connected to trolley. And I'm like, that's the real estate people on the corner there on Scott Street on Delaware Avenue and Scott. Then I started looking at the guy, and I'm like, this is the guy who was, like, talking about homeless people when they were trying to do the homeless Bill of Rights. I'm like, this guy's a scumbag. He's right in my neighborhood. I didn't like it.
Is that the, like, millennial real estate agency?
Yeah, they're always, like, partying in the back and stuff. I don't know. Because obviously, it's close to me, yeah. But yeah, I think so.
I feel like they dropped something at my door. Maybe it came in the mail, and it was, like, a printout of the Zillow listing of our house. And was just like, I had a post-it on it. And it was just like, I have opinions about your Zestimate. Call me if you want to hear them. And I was just like, no, thank
no.
you.
No, actually, I'm thinking
it's
about
calling. Very aggressive move.
Yeah, I don't get it. Are they just trying to, like, buy you out? Or like
unclear. Yeah, maybe they thought my Zestimate online was low. Maybe they thought it was higher and it'd be a great time to sell my house. I have no idea. I'm dying in that house. I'm not going anywhere.
Fucking look. And now that the next Earl of the Triangle.
Which
Lord,
one?
Lord Scrain, I'm calling him.
Carney.
I wasn't sure what the naming convention was gonna be, but now that we know, and everyone's gonna know. Well, let's get to this first. Hello everyone. Rob here. This is your Highlands Bunker podcast. We are in the shadow of Rockford Tower. We are behind enemy lines. We are in the belly of the Delaware Way beast. And it's been bad here in the belly lately because it's election time, primary time, and we're going to talk about that. I don't want to. My hand was kind of forced by dear listeners and haters because they love, like, the gossip part of it. So you're getting it today. Here we go. Comrades and friends, it's a primary pregame for you, especially for you. Obviously, super producer Carl is here with us. We also have Jordan Howell, famous investigative journalist for the Delaware Call.
Famous?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think so.
You're lowering the bar.
Well, I mean, we're sitting in a bunker studio, bro. I mean, what do you think? And an old friend of ours back. Jess Grain, how
it's
are
been
you?
A minute.
Do you have any? Do you have any news for us?
Oh, nothing major. I just had a child last month, so
yes,
that's
young,
exciting.
Young Everett William Martin.
That's him.
Lord Scrain.
Yep, that's accurate.
The third Earl of the Triangle. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going with. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, already out canvassing.
Yeah, great lineage.
Out there. No, but we've been following it closely. I'm glad you're able to come out, and it is very exciting. I can't wait to meet Ev.
Yeah, we'll get him some shots, and then he can meet some people.
Yeah, he's got to get his proper.
Can't come out around you people.
No, especially us. I mean, who knows what the fuck is going on over here? You got to get every immunization that the pediatrician
exactly.
says. You might want to get them twice. I don't even know what the schedule is now. What you're supposed to do?
We're just gonna speed that up.
Yeah, I mean, shoo. I'm. As people know, I just turned 50, so whatever I'm going to get, I'm either going to get it or not get it.
You almost got that RSV vaccine. You were getting close.
Yeah, what is that? I don't even have to. Do I have to get something?
No, 10 years you can get an RSV vaccine.
Oh my god!
You ever had
shingles,
chicken pox?
Maybe
I have had chicken pox.
Get the shingles vaccine.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the shingles vaccine, right? Because I had chicken pox when I was a kid.
All right, you're fine then. I think.
There you
maybe.
Go.
I don't know.
I don't.
No,
know.
It's the opposite.
Oh, opposite. You need it.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Shingles is supposed to hurt though
yeah,
too.
It's not bad. It's bad. Don't get it.
I don't want to get another vaccine, but I'll get one if I have to. Well, thanks again for coming out. So this is the way I kind of wanted to do it. I wanted to make a few statements, and then we'll sort of just get into the races and see where it goes. We'll start at the top and go down. Number one, I've said this over and over and over again, but I feel compelled to say it again and make this caveat. These are not endorsements. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, but I think a lot of the information that I've gotten in the last week or two has supported my original position that most of this is absolutely meaningless. And so I'm just going to have fun with it. And so when I tell you who I'm voting for, this is not an endorsement. It's not who I think is going to win. In fact, a lot of times it's who I think is not going to win. But this is just what it is. We were chatting here before we turned the microphones on. I sort of said at the beginning of this election cycle that I was struggling to get interested in it. I never really did get interested in it. We didn't have, other than people that we know that are our friends that have been in before, really didn't have any new candidates in, except for Colin O'Mara, who I think was a special sort of circumstance, and Val Gould, who is working, they're working with Jordan Pusey, and I was just interested in their background. But other than that, I sort of stuck to my guns and didn't jam up the airwaves with a bunch of nonsense from people who were just goofy and lying to me and stuff. So I protected you, the listener, from that nonsense. So that's the caveat. I mean, not that it's a primary, but there are a few sort of top line things that we can kind of dispatch with pretty quickly. President, when we get to the November, I will be leaving that blank. I might vote for Cornel West. That would be fun. Or I'm leaving it blank. Are you feeling joy? Is Kamala making you feel joy? Do you feel joy?
I haven't really engaged with any of that.
No engagement. Very good. I'm so glad. Yeah, I haven't either. I talked to Dwayne Benson when he was in here because he came back from the DNC, and I told him, I was like, I didn't watch any of it. Like, no, I'm just not interested, because it's more of the same. Like, I understand why people got sort of excited. But it's also kind of stupid, because these are the same people that were telling people to, like, endorse Joe Biden and ride or die with Biden. So you lost all credibility. So I couldn't care less what you say.
It's the same campaign apparatus. The same people are running. You know, it's just they just switched the names at the top. And whatever. It's fine. I mean, the thing that's interesting about it to me was that they did it at all. Like, the weekend or whatever it was that Joe Biden decided not to run anymore. I think I was in the hospital, frankly, having a baby again. But I remember just feeling like, oh, something happened. Like, it just felt like something actually happened. Whereas, like, nothing has been happening.
They didn't
like,
Dianne Feinstein his ass, and it just, like, right. kept going on and on for months and months until...
It was interesting, I think, that anything changed at all. That was what was interesting to me about that. Less about the, you know, I didn't generate a lot of excitement about Kamala Harris or Tim Walz or anything like that. But I think the fact that they actually made that change and pulled the trigger on that was kind of shocking to me. And
yeah,
something happened.
Yeah, normally they would just, like, just do nothing and get burned again.
Right.
And so that was pretty surprising. But again, as I said, it was more like, oh, a certain segment of the establishment who felt establishment enough to make to sort of start applying the pressure was able to do it. And it was still like, you know, if that was going to, it was still way too late. You know, if that, if you're going to do that, you should have already done it. So it was still kind of a clusterfuck, but at least something got done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other two national races, I won't be voting for Sarah McBride. There's no point. She'll, you know, win. She could stop campaigning today and just cruise in. Lisa Blunt Rochester. I mean, basically, Sarah's the new Lisa. Lisa's the new Carper. We're going to get zero difference. And again, that's fine for me now, because I don't have any. I have no truck with them anyway. And frankly, neither one of them had ever given me any reason to believe otherwise. So it's only fair that they're doing the thing that they looked like they were going to do forever. So that's fine. I wish them all the bad luck in the world. And that's it. So that's the national shit.
Yeah, the problem with those, I mean, it does kill me that they're just going to waltz into those seats. Like, just no conversation about it. No, like, just they're acting like they're actually being challenged. You know, Lisa sends emails every day about how much she needs money, and Donald Trump is attacking her, and it's going to be, we got to make sure we keep the Senate blue. And it's just like, you're going to walk into that seat and you're going to hold it for as long as you want. Like, and that really does kind of kill me that they're both just sort of being crowned.
Yeah, it's a little, and considering the money that somebody like Sarah has raised, it's a little bit disheartening, because
yeah.
Now she's going to have money to do this kind of foolishness for decades,
right?
You know, but that's just the way it is. So yeah, it's disheartening that they're really Sometimes I think when they're going through the motions, they're like they're sticking in my face. See, they're like they're taunting me right now. They're taking a victory lap. But I mean, look, they did the things they needed to do to be the Delaware Way, you know, machines. And that's what they're doing. Like, it's sort of like that old Delaware Way, new Delaware Way thing that Carl, I've been using this more and more often, Carl. Do you want to explain it again? Because I've really been sort of seeing it in a lot of different races. But not only that, just in a lot of the ways people talk about stuff. I think you're on to it.
Well, the basic idea is, like, old Delaware Way, just to use an example, is like Tom Carper. New Delaware Way would be someone like Lisa Bunt Rochester. Essentially, with the old Delaware Way, there's a lot more focus on, like, compromise in reaching across the aisle, and it's a lot more explicitly moderate or explicitly conservative. Whereas the new Delaware Way, it's all old white guys too. It's like the good old boys club. There's some women like Bethany Hall Long, I think, falls into that category of, like, she's been around for a while, like Val Longhurst, people who are like not good old boys, but like fall into that kind of network. And the new Delaware Way is sort of more. I see the divide as, like, did you politically come of age in, like, when Delaware was still kind of, like, purplish? Or did you come of age, politically come of age, when Delaware was, like, solidly blue? So, like, pre-2008 or post-2008, kind of. And so the new Delaware Way, they're a lot more, like, explicitly partisan, a lot more explicitly liberal in a lot of cases. Like, they're a lot more willing to take explicitly liberal positions. But they still operate in sort of the similar type of way, where they see the way of, like, you kind of need to be a part of a hegemonic, like, broadly be back, like, you support things like paid family medical leave, you support things like $15 minimum wage, you support things like gun bills, you support, you know, you support all the, like, liberal stuff,
or like
the
nominally.
Sort of like the nominally stuff, but, like, you're still also, when the cops call, you're still picking up the cops, and you're still voting against the bills that they want you to vote against. When it comes to, like, renter stuff, like, you're still going to vote against, like, the hard, like, rent stabilization, or you're going to vote, like, vote to water down right to rep.
I think the
like
way
that.
Jordan explained it was folding like a cheap suit.
Well, I think the nature of compromise has changed too, to where now, like, you know, a lot of those liberal priorities are, I mean, but, like, those are still safe priorities, right? Like, because Delaware has turned blue, like, you're not, like, no Democrat.
You're not really challenging power
by taking one of those, liberal positions.
You know, like, some of the stuff the WFP is trying to pass with, like, rent stabilization, with even earned sick time and safety leave. I mean, you could argue the 15, you know, I almost see the difference as, like, the difference between, like, the Chamber of Commerce versus, like, the Delaware Bar Association. it's, like, both are entrenched sets of power, and the fact that we've moved beyond the Chamber of Commerce dictating every single thing that happens in the legislature is very good. Like, I think the move from old Delaware Way to new Delaware Way, if I didn't make that clear, like, when I talked about it before, is, like, a positive change. It's a shift in what I consider to be a good direction, but also it's sort of a way of saying that people can be better without being trustworthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they don't champion any of those things that they support either. I think that's, like, the
well,
other thing.
Well, I mean,
is, like,
if you look at someone like Sarah McBride, for example, she did champion paid family medical leave. Like, I think paid family medical leave would have passed at some point without her, but I don't think it would have passed as quickly as it did without her. Or like Jack Walsh with $15 minimum wage. Like, he was someone who really pushed, and these are people who, like, I have plenty of disagreements with on this or that, but obviously their efforts in these particular bills were necessary for them to pass. But they were operating in an environment of a lot of different people than they would have a while ago. And so I think the thing is still that they're not movement people. Like, they aren't really accountable to anybody other than sort of the political establishment. And someone like Matt Meyer falls in a weird case here, because he's very much, like, not establishment, but he's also accountable to a different type of.
Yeah, I think you used him as an example when you first explained it, and I think it was very illustrative. It's like, it's sort of like I use John Carney as a sort of a barometer on this, because he'll ride or die with Bethany. And still endorse her, even though she looks like she did crimes, because he does not like Meyer. But Meyer's taking money from BPG, just like Przycki and just like Carney. I mean, Carney's running for Przycki's third term. They're going to have basically the same corporate real estate interests that are going to be influencing them.
Yeah, there's
just,
there's
something about Meyer, because he didn't come through
because
the
he went
pipeline.
Through different. Right. Exactly. It's very similar to Markell. Like, if Matt Meyer wins, which seems like probably the most likely outcome, I think if you want to know what to expect, like look at Markell's 8 years.
Right.
For and better or for worse.
Again, well, you know, and this maybe this is a good time to bring up, like, okay, the governor thing. And I'm just going to... I wasn't going to vote at all for governor because it was just, like, the way I looked at it was, like, Meyer's probably going to win, but because of the things we just said, I'm not, like, you know, I'm not kicked in the ass to go out. Colin is not going to win, but I sort of like where he's coming from. But I kind of fell back. I actually had a conversation with Medina, and we went back and forth and talked a bit. And I think, I don't want to say convinced, but I'm going to vote for Colin. Just because I'm not, I'm a movement person. Now, if he is or he isn't, like, I'm not enthusiastic like I would have been and then get burned with other people who sort of sold out. I'm not going into it with any kind of, like, we're going to change the world. We're going to shake up the world. Like, I don't think that, but he's good. And he's you know, I watch these dumb debates and, you know, his answers are better than Meyer's. And he doesn't take BPG money, you know. And, you know, he's coming from outside the system. Do I trust everything he's saying or whether he's being sincere about what he wants to do? I don't know. But like I said before, who gives a shit? So that's what I'm doing. I understand why people would vote for Meyer because he's done some good stuff. I understand why people would be mad at Meyer. I understand why most of the people who like Bethany like her for the worst reasons imaginable. They just hate Meyer. They either hate Meyer. Well, they either hate Meyer like the building trades because they're racist freaks, or they hate Meyer because like he didn't come up through, you know, their pipeline like Carney, like someone like Carney. So like that seems stupid to me, but you know, again, they're not movement people, as Carl said. I'll take a flyer, but I don't have any sort of like, I'm not confident. Like, I don't think he's going to win. I'm not confident that he did win, that I would be satisfied with anything he did, but I'm voting for Colin. I'm not looking to go into the voting booth as some sort of religious experience and like make sure that I'm like at some kind of purity booth where I'm going to be washed over and like not do something, like not vote for somebody who, you know, does this or that. I don't really believe in that. That's not why I'm doing it. So, you know, that's the first thing.
So to say a vote is a chess move and not a love letter?
It's not.
I got to.
See, now you're just going to make people mad about this. You know, you're poking now. That's what you're doing. Yeah, like I understand that it's a strategic choice. Like, I understand people who say, well, either Bethany or Matt is going to win, probably, so should you probably just come down one or the other? No. Do what the fuck I want. And that's what I'm doing.
Well, people are so obsessed with, like, almost trying to pick the winner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like they want to vote for the person who's going to win, which I get. Of course, you want to vote for the person who's going to win, but like they almost want to be right about who they choose versus like choosing the person who's right to create the conditions that they want to operate in. Like, I feel like there is this feeling of like, oh, well, why would you vote for Colin if you don't think he's going to win? It's like, well, because I think it's important to support the people who support us and who believe in the things that we believe in and who say the right things, right? And are like taking the action that we want to see out of someone. But I feel like there is this sect of people that are kind of just obsessed with like trying to like be on the winning team versus, I don't know, using a vote different in a different way.
Yeah, or they'll use
communicate
their vote,
something else.
Yeah, they'll be like, well, I don't like Bethany, or now that all of this has come out and she's like scandal plagued, you know, we just have to all like sort of get behind the one person who has a chance that isn't scandal plagued. That's not how I use my vote, bro. Sorry. I'm not doing that. You know,
well, it's
I understand
like
what you're saying, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah. It's a weird stance to take.
Yeah, because another thing is this. I mean, it's sort of like, and again, this is going to like tweak people a little bit, but it's sort of like the it's the same sort of Bernie Hillary thing. It's like, I'm not going to sit there and worry about what I'm not going to try to fucking work out what everybody else is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they going to do? Well,
right.
Did they do this? Did they do enough? Like, what do you think everybody's going to do? If you do this, are they going to do that? I'm not getting involved in that because that seems dumb actually, like getting involved in that because you can't really do it. You're tricking yourself into thinking that you have it all worked out. Where why don't you just, especially for people like us, not to speak for you guys, but I think we're all in the same boat here. Like as Carl said, like we have a project and we're trying to do something. And it doesn't come down to like figuring out, what some cop adjacent, housewife or realtor in Middletown is going to do. It just doesn't.
Right.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Can I tell you why I'm not entirely sold on Colin? Can I tell you why?
Sure.
So, I mean, you're right. Colin, he has a great platform. A lot of overlap, though, with the other two candidates in the race. To be expected, again, with the, in Delaware, if you're a Democrat in Delaware, like some of the enshrining women's reproductive rights in the Delaware state constitution. I think, for example, all three candidates, basically made that part of their platform. And, in terms of policy, like he says the right thing. In terms of policy, I'm not exactly sure where the big differences are between him and Meyer. But the big thing for me, right, like, I really don't know where he's coming from. And maybe it's just because one of my pet peeves is campaign finance violations. But the response to Bethany Hallong's campaign finance violations between his campaign and Meyer's campaign, I think were very telling. Meyer said, this is basically, I'm paraphrasing here, this is sus as fuck, like this, shouldn't there be some sort of more formal investigation?
Actually, that's a direct quote from the Meyer.
Yeah, this is sus as fuck, right? Instead of just Anthony Albence, and Kathy Jennings basically just agreeing ahead of time that there isn't going to be, any investigation. And, Colin O'Mara's response was basically like, we don't need a criminal investigation. I don't think he even used the word criminal investigation. I think he just, said there should be, another investigative audit, of her campaign finances, where it's like, looks at it more closely. And I was thinking to myself, that seems like a Delaware way move.
Because it was very tepid for somebody who's in, and maybe the only thing I thought, because I remember it being very tepid too, and you mentioned it. Now, I don't care about campaign finance shit as far as that goes. Like, I certainly care when you find out somebody broke the law and stole money. But, like, everybody's taking shitty money and doing this and that, so I don't get in the weeds about it. But the only thing I thought was maybe he figured, well, he's the third. He's sort of like the third way, whatever you want to call it. And so he's going to let Meyer. He's going to let.
Let's call it that. Let's call
it that. No one's ever used that term before.
That was beep that out, Carl. I'm gonna overdub something else. That was fucking stupid. We're gonna call it a third way. I think
he's like positioning himself.
I thought maybe he was like, look, Meyer's gonna have to go balls to the wall on this because it's bad. And I don't have to. It's not really my lane. I can worry about other stuff. My problem is I don't think there was a big enough push on the other stuff either. I think that insurgent, left-wing, socialist-leaning candidates, which I don't even think he is one, but the third way, they need to come out like fucking gangbusters. They need to be like, they need to be all over the place. And I hate to say this because I'm going to have some very bad, well, I've already had some very bad words for her, but this is like what Carrie Harris was actually pretty good at when she ran for Senate against Carper because she didn't have to deal with COVID. I don't know why I'm looking at you now.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
So she didn't have to deal with COVID. So they had an office in Wilmington and Dave Weigel's writing about it in the Post. I met Dave twice, three times in here. Met Ryan Grimm. Had people, Justice Democrats, were living here. And so you got to flood the market with like just all kinds of different stuff. And I just don't think Colin Collins, even like you think his response to the campaign finance stuff was tepid. I think his whole campaign was tepid. If you're going to be an insurgent leftist candidate, if you're going to throw down a Working Families Party and be like, I'm throwing down with a bunch of socialist people that the Delaware Way hates, then do it.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. Like, let's take this army on campaign.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, I won't say all of us, but feel that way. That, like, it wasn't the campaign we wanted to see, maybe, you know? It wasn't as visible and active in the way that we expected it to be.
We've had this conversation publicly and privately. Like, it has to be a movement. Like, as Carl said, if you're going to throw down with us, then throw down with us. You can't say you're going to throw down, but, like, are you? And we have this conversation sometimes when we're, like, in pubs and stuff. Like, if the shit goes down, like, who's going to back us up and who's not? You know, because you got to make sure, like Andre, he's going to back us up. Greg, he's going to back us up. Karen and Bill, candy asses. We'll fucking get killed before they do anything. So you got to know that stuff. It's important to suss that out. Sometimes you just got to say, look, we're going to throw down. Because it means more, the idea is that it means more that you would have fought and that you bring people and yourself into the fight ongoing than some sort of strategic game you're playing in an election cycle. Do you know what I mean? Like that, because now I can, now I know where you're coming from. I know what you're about, and we can, you know, you can join us. But if you're, like, if you're not really going in,
it's hard to trust.
Yep.
Well, and the whole thing with chess, though, is too, like, you control the pieces. If you're playing, like, if you think about it as playing chess, but, like, you know, we're obviously working with, like, you know, actual human beings here. You know, you might think you're playing chess, but if the other person's playing chess and their plan is to switch sides or to do something, you know, shitty on the other side of the election and just not tell anyone about it ahead of time, you know, kind of fucks with your strategy. If you're a chess player, if you don't know that one of your pieces is going to switch sides and you're like, you won't be able to use it anymore, or just will disavow you or something like that, it's like, oh shit, I just lost, you know, my rook or, you know, my queen or something.
I'm terminating
like that.
The chess analogies.
We're going
I'm terminating the chess analogies.
Right,
this is probably where Carl plays us into the next segment. Fucking chess analogies, bro.
I think I've decided, though, that I'd rather not be cynical.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. When it comes to these things, I'm sort of, like, willing to just be like, you know what? Like, okay, let's try.
Yeah.
And, like, you're, like, yeah. I don't know. Because I feel like I think a lot of us, when Colin did reach out to WFP, which he did, right? Like, he came looking for us. And, like, it wasn't like we had to beg him to show interest,
which is
right?
Normally the way it goes, folks. Right. By the way, if you don't know, which most of the listeners here probably know, you know, people in the movement, or even people not in the movement that just don't like their rep, they have to beg and plead and tell people, this is why people volunteer for campaigns on, like, little rinky-dink campaigns, because you usually have to, like, do that. But when somebody with credentials is willing to sort of sign up, yeah, you have to take them seriously.
Yeah, but I think our first reaction, a lot of us, was to be, like, skeptical, and we're just sort of like, who's this guy? Where's he coming from? Why is he saying all the things that we want to hear? Is he just saying the things we want to hear? Right? And like,
it's suspicious.
But I think I'm trying
it's
to.
It's like, are you a cop? Why are you
exactly.
saying this?
He's lying.
But I'm trying to be willing to be burned, I think. I think I'd rather be willing to be burned than say no to too many people and miss out on opportunities.
Yeah, I guess my thing is, this is a great way to put it, I think. I get that, and after I spoke with them, after the endorsement, you know, I went through all of that, and I think I got to a point where, even though I'm disappointed in the campaign for the reasons we just talked about, I'm still voting for Colin for the reasons that I said.
Right.
And so I'm willing to do it. I just want to go in with my eyes wide open. So again, that's probably not a great analogy for me, because that doesn't really help.
It's also a great film.
Yeah, that's true.
Just kidding.
But I kind of want to go into it like being like, okay, this is the deal. Go into it with no, you know, not go into it, as I said before, because some of these things have been like rah rah. This is our person, and some of those people, especially at the state legislature level, were elected.
Yeah.
And most of them, I I would say almost all of them are not good.
Yeah.
So I'm when we do it, I'm willing to do it because I don't want to be like, no, not damn.
Well, yeah, because if you don't do it, you never build anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm down for it, but I just don't. I think we need to, you know, learn. Like again, like I said before, it's a learning thing. Let's learn. Let's see where it goes.
Well, and I think the other thing is you can't, because you support someone once doesn't mean you're going to support them forever.
Yeah. Well, like, that's the other thing.
I think that's the, like, you can't expect that from.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Because Carl asked me one time, and now that it's actually come to fruition with Carrie and also Eugene, who we've both already mentioned. A lot of the Delaware way, at least the old Delaware way, and the new to some extent too, is like, I do this because I like this person. Like, they're just my friend. Like, Kathy McGinnis and Pete are friends. Maybe some people might call them special friends. I mean, so you could say a lot of different things. But again, like, they don't have a project. They're just affluent friends. And they just want to protect and be with their friends. This is like the Val Longhurst, Nicole Poor thing. They're not really doing anything. They're just making sure that the institutions keep running, you know, and the status quo sort of keeps going. But they're not like...
And they get to go to ribbon cuttings and be invited to dinner.
And as a nurse, I can tell you that I really have a lot of opinions about this. But so they get to do the thing, and they're important in Rehoboth, or they're important in Dover, or they're important in Newark, or Middletown, or whatever. You know, they're a small town, little prince or princess. And they're not really doing anything. But this project has to be a demarcation there. Like, if you're not in, we're not fucking with you. Like, you know, I give Eugene a lot of credit. We're still very close friends. So we can talk about this stuff, and, you know, it's good, actually. It's very open conversation. But that's not going to fly. And so we can be friends, but politically, we're not going. You're not getting any support from me for that.
Yeah.
In fact, you're getting public. When I called them at the beginning, I said, just in about a week or two, I'm going to start really dragging your ass through the mud in public. And I need you to be, you know, ready for it. And he said, I understand. And I said, I think you better think on it because I think you're making a big mistake. And yeah, he did. So whatever, that's fine. We still talk. It's still fine. Carrie, it's a different story. That's fucked up. And I think, how do I want to put this? You know what? Fuck it. This is the fucking Highlands Bunker. I'll just put it however I want to put it. Eugene is a more well-read, thoughtful person. And I think he that's why he'll talk to me about this stuff. I mean, Carrie just laid down for the worst of the worst. I mean, people have had that conversation with me too. It's like you have to hedge your bets because if Bethany does win and if Val Longhurst win, but then you win, like you'll just be Kowalko'd.
Yeah.
But again, Kowalko's still relevant. I don't know. He won eight times.
Right.
And he's still relevant. Now, we just published him in the call this week. Go to DelawareCall.com. He threw that thing in for the Inspector General at the end. And I was like, should I just take this out? I'm like, it's Kowalko. I'm leaving it in. So, yeah, he's still relevant. So do you want to have that? Do you want to have that legacy? Or do you want to just be a chump? Most people just want to be a chump.
Yeah, and I feel like Kowalko gets stuck with that legacy because he was the only one, right, for so long. And I feel like in different conditions, it wouldn't have been that. Like, it would have been a different story. And I feel like that's what we're trying to do, right, is get more people so that they can support one another. I think you, in the conversation with you, Dwayne, you had last week, was like, everyone says, oh, well, if someone goes first, I'll go second. But no one ever goes first, and no one ever goes second. And, like, we're trying to build a coalition of people who are going to go first at the same time together so that it's not scary and that they can't be retaliated against, and that they have enough numbers and strength and power, frankly, that they aren't just Kowalko standing on an island being the only rational person in that body. And I feel like that's the thing that we are trying to do. Now, granted, sometimes we think we get people added to that coalition and they turn out to not be. Fine, whatever. That's the unfortunate long road that we're on, but that's what we have to do. And I think that's what we're in part committed to on this electoral side of the work that we're doing, right?
I don't think Kowalko's ever been proven more right than just like, recently, absolutely. Especially after he left office especially with all the inspector general stuff. You know, we have a Department of Labor, that was, allegedly, covering up embezzlement and wrongdoing Department of Labor, Lieutenant Governor's office working with the Department of Elections basically to, hide campaign finance violations.
Opioid stuff. Yeah, opioid funds.
Oh, that's right. And yeah, the misuse of opioid funds, which then, led to, basically audits of, all those funds, including a lot of organizations that were using those funds appropriately and then, had to then put all their shit on hold and have to start answering questions to the state because, all these other organizations were allowed to just, kind of dick off with the money or do whatever they wanted with it.
And how long was he the only person talking about the corporate law bill? Which is something that we're
immortalized in Hal Weitzman's book.
We've at least talked, a lot more people are at least talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen any real change there, but I think that is kind of, to me, to your point, I think he's been proven right. And I think that we're trying to get more density.
Yeah.
That's all we can try to do, right?
One of the things that Carl and I talked about, even early on with the podcast, and people would come in here and they were like, this is kind of crazy because it wasn't as big, but we were still making, people, when they hear their name, everybody's like, what's this person talking about? And we were able to get good guests and stuff. But one of the things I wanted to do when people heard it is to then know that, you're not alone. People are going to stick up for you no matter what if you hang with, I think I'll stack my history against anybody's. If I say we're sticking with you and you do the right thing, we're sticking with you.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
it,
like,
but
I,
it has
how
to
do
be
people,
doing
people,
the right thing and
but
being
people,
passionate
people
about
still
it.
Don't, because they don't, they still have ambition. They have political ambition that's bigger than the project.
Yeah.
And that's the trick, I think.
Right, a personal project.
I mean, everybody needs to be elected to anything and put your face on a fucking sign. You have to be committed to some sort of personal project. But the problem is when that outweighs your political project, you get what you get.
Yeah.
So.
I think a good litmus test for movement folk, or just about really anyone, I guess, in the Democratic Party, is. One of Kowalko's main priorities, having an inspector general here in the state of Delaware, because I bet you'll find a whole bunch of people on the left who agree with, us on a lot of things. But then it's like, oh, but we also need an inspector general, right? Just like Kowalko says. So look into wrongdoing, and government agencies, general assembly, stuff like that. All of a sudden, I bet you'll get a lot of people who are like, I don't know if we need to go that far yet, because, we already have checks and balances, and you'll just start getting excuse after excuse after excuse. It could be a great litmus test just to see where people stand. Because in my opinion, if someone's against, the inspector general, that's I think should be an immediate red flag, especially here in Delaware with some of the, some of these, I don't want to let's just say the word. I was debating whether using the word corruption on its own or just soft corruption, but basically corruption we've been seeing, in government and cover ups and things like that. Let's get an IG. It'll be fun.
Nice. All right. So maybe we're better off talking about the state races, just sort of in general, based on the stuff that we were just talking about.
Oh, wait, are you skipping over Lieutenant Governor?
Yes.
Oh man, why?
Gives a shit.
You want to
talk about say... you want to stand Kyle Evans gay?
No. One of the main sponsors of all the corporate law bills we've been seeing. I was just going to say, I think that's a...
Well, she's terrible, and that's just like everybody else.
That's a clear one for me. I think I'm going for Sherry on that one.
Oh, I'm not voting in that. Should I vote? Yeah, you know what? Yeah. You take, I'm for Sherry. I'm voting
for Sherry.
Yep.
The only person who seems to be running on a platform that actually is tied to what the lieutenant governor does and the power that they have.
Okay, you talked me into it. Because we were talking about, like, I was putting everybody into these, like, movement sort of, like, what's it going to do for the movement? And I see those two, and I don't. But not, no, you convinced me. Yeah.
All right.
Sherry, pull the lever. Vote. I'm on it.
Look it.
Okay.
We're filling up a ballot.
All right.
You know, I'm impressed. I really thought I was going to have a blank ballot, and I'm making more choices than I thought I would.
We're making progress
here.
We're making progress, folks. There's a cohort of people who are in some way connected to the movement, whether they be out and out like really good candidates or strategic candidates in particular places that we think would help our cause. Those are two different things, by the way, everyone. Just I know it's too much for your brain to handle. But one organization can work with candidates with sort of different politics strategically. This is fucking, this is real, real high level ideas. But just so you know, what's our feeling on it? And I'll talk about, like, maybe I will name some of the people that I think if we were in their district, we would vote for based on what we talked about before. Frank Burns.
Yes.
That's a yes, right? I mean, that's a Frank Burns, Pike Creek. He's a, I had forgotten. I met him when he was, when the Ramon Burns recount was going on in a courtroom in Wilmington. I met him at a coffee shop, talked to him for a little while. That's when I found out, like, what his background was. I'm like, oh, you're like a fancy, like,
Yeah, like a smart guy.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. Yeah, he's a fancy smart guy, but he seems like a good dude, and so he's a plus. And he actually, I think, really has, because he's been there several cycles, I think he's really established a thing there. You feel good about him, Carl?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
And I don't want to put you on a spot like you know everything, race. But I know you would have, of anybody sitting here, you would have a better understanding of, like, how things are going out there.
Yeah, I think he's running around a strong race. He's knocked every door in that district. He's knocked all the primary voters a lot of times. He's been out there. He's been on the ballot once. So, and yeah, he is just like a good guy.
Okay, next one. This is a tricky one. Because this isn't exactly a movement person necessarily, but they have a good background and they're my friend. And I hope they don't disappoint me if they win. Claire Snyder Hall in Rehoboth. Do you have a feeling? Now, I know you haven't really been working with them that much.
If you're trying to get me to predict what's going to happen in Rehoboth Beach.
Yeah, you know what? That's fucked up. That's fucked up. That whole place is just a. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Sorry for asking.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Is it Claire versus Kathy?
And the other guy, Marty.
I haven't heard of Marty.
The guy, I think he's in the CIA or like the NSA or something. So he just came from Washington and he retired in Rehoboth, but like.
He was a UNICEF lobbyist.
UNICEF lobbyist. Yeah,
that's,
UNICEF.
That's
what?
So
in,
CIA
in, like,
coded.
In Kenya, like Matt Meyer? Yeah. Oh, in Mogadishu? So we know how they do. Oh, he worked with USAID. Okay.
Oh, now you're making up lies.
I know. I thought people didn't realize that I was making up lies before.
You're doing disinformation.
I'm doing huge disinformation.
Yeah,
don't
know.
Propaganda.
That's a,
even.
That race,
but
would be
but that, yes,
they
that,
love Kathy down there, right? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know
got
that
like
they 20 do.
20-something% in the primary back in 22.
I know,
so.
And yet she's running. I just
yeah. Well, she's got incredible self-confidence.
I know.
That's she doesn't lack for that.
That's what makes her like kind of a great, like, you know, politician. That like shame portion of her brain is just like turned off. So she can get out there and
it's like you learn how some professional athletes, like, you know, like, well, I heard, like, you know, somewhat, like, you know, rock climbers just, like, don't have, like, you know, the fear in their brain.
Yeah.
You know, they climb around, they don't have the fear, you know, she just, like, you know, doesn't feel self-conscious. Yeah, no,
no
shame. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Good for her, I guess.
Yeah, you know what?
That's one way to live.
It's like a professional athlete. She's made for it.
Look.
Exactly.
We've had a hell of a time mining it for content. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. It hasn't been as fun this year.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go to the big one. The Val Longhurst Cam situation. That's a big. Here's the way I look at it, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. Obviously, somebody in, I always got to do this leadership, fake name, fake shit. That's a big scalp. But I is this somebody who has an agenda that would like vibe with my agenda, or are they just sort of a little bit better? Do they have like a particular issue that they're pushing? What's the story there?
I mean, so in Cam's case, so she's not a movement person in the sense of like she was somebody who came from like DSA or WFP or something. So she actually came, I believe, through the Gilliam Fellows and is not someone who I'd say is like some sort of like lefty, like super far left type person. And I think probably that kind of fits that district because it's got it's basically goes like up by Route 40 on sort of more to the west of like Medina's district. And so it has some areas that are very similar to Medina's, and then it goes further south and basically goes right to the canal. And it's got a lot of like more suburban-y, like spread out wealthy type areas. So it's not the kind of area that is necessarily going to default to like, oh yeah, we're like socialists. But that being said, she is someone, and I think it's actually similar to Sherry Dorsey Walker. And Sherry's got some problems, but Sherry also was willing to grow on issues and was willing to listen to activists and like explicitly champion like underserved people in a way that basically nobody else that wasn't a WFP person was. And Cam, I think, has a lot of those impulses of like she is a very what's the word I'm looking for? Principled person. She really does care about and has worked with people who are less fortunate. Mm-hmm. And she has been less fortunate herself. Like she comes from a very like working class and sometimes like pretty rough off background. And yeah, I mean, if you ask her like point for point of like, do you support this? Yes. Do you support this? Yes. So like she filled out the WFP questionnaire. She's on board with all the issues that we care about. And she's someone who's very much willing to listen and take the sides of the people and not just like automatically believe what the establishment says. And that's by itself already a huge lap compared to everybody else. And then also, you asked about her one big issue is like government transparency. So Inspector General, Leo Boer, like anything that is like increasing
the transparency
and the things that are making things run.
I love everything you're saying.
Well, I think she's already kind of shown a willingness to like work, get better, like yep. learn from people, listen to activists.
Yeah, she was not like a great candidate, I would say, at the start.
I mean,
but
she would admit to that, right? But yeah. She's like really shaped herself into
and
like,
this is
a
race where
candidate.
I think win or lose, it comes down to like 5%-ish.
Yeah. I also think she's run a good campaign.
Yeah.
Like better than a lot of folks that
she's run a better campaign
year.
Than Val has.
Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah.
And even better than some, I think, like of our faves. You know, I just think she's done a really good job.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to skip over. There's some people that probably think they're going to get talked about, and they're not going to be. I'm skipping them. Because, and again, this goes back to the other thing. Here's who we love here. Medina, Shanae, Larry Lambert. Shit, is that it? That might be it. Sorry, everybody else. You're not doing like there's people that I hope win. I'm really pulling for you, and the proof will be in the pudding, as they say, because we have a couple other sort of ones to talk about before we get out.
It's great that Medina doesn't have a primary challenge this year. She's been fighting for years.
Again,
it's good to have a break.
Because she dispatched that motherfucker. They've been totally embarrassed. Remember that guy, Craplow? Peter Craplow or whatever? Craplow? And he wanted to circle back when the election was over. Yeah. And then, like, I waited. I didn't even wait till the primary. I might even have waited for the general. Just, like, way later on, I was like, bro, you want to circle back on this? He blocked me within, like, 2 seconds. He didn't want to circle. He didn't want to circle back.
Yeah, fun story. There was some, I forget what group it was exactly, but heard this through the grapevine that there was a group that did some polling because they really want to get rid of Medina and they want to get rid of Eric. And so they polled Medina's district. They polled Eric's district. And they decided, like, oh, Eric is like a softer target, basically. Mm-hmm. They both won their primaries by the same amount in 2022, by about like 2-1, essentially. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with Eric Race. There's been some lot of like really nasty stuff there where the charter people are basically just like calling him like a rape defender, basically.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
so, good job, charter people.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's
just implying that a gay man is a groomer.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up to
Brittany Mumford from all those people.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm. Well, the cool thing is, and again, thanks for saying this because I would have skipped this and forgot, but this is an important one. Back in the day, when we started the podcast and the call, I was looped into, you know, some of the education nonprofits. Now, I never said I was down with them. I just was like, they were part of the group, you know, talking about their shit. And very early on, we had Ottenray on here from Teen Sharp. And it was one of the first sort of like combative interviews. So I'm on record. These charter school people are lunatics. They're wrong. This the idea of telling you school choice is good and segregating people and putting them in different it's wrong. It's not part of the project. And I don't want to fucking hear about it. And what they're doing to Eric is beyond. If anybody didn't know before that these people are not with us, they should fucking know it now. Yeah, and this is probably a good time to plug next week. We're going to be talking to Christina school board member Doug Manley about charter schools and shell LLCs and moving to Karachi. Which I don't know if he's in Karachi. Could be in Lahore. We don't know. We just know he's on the run. I don't even know he's on the run. It's just funny saying it.
Not here.
Look, superintendent, we fired him. Why'd we fire him? We can't tell you. It's a secret. Executive session. Go fuck yourself. Executive session. Yeah, this Delaware is really, really something else. But thank you for bringing that up. And again, I think that there are people I'm pulling for. And all I can tell you is that I hope if all of your hard work did pay off, you don't disappoint and you actually, you know, you decide to like actually try to do something and have a legacy and have people remember you as somebody who tried to, you know, do what they said they were going to do, not try to, you know, become a vice chancellor of the chancery court in 5 years. Mm. If you think I'm talking about you, I probably am.
Long walk to the chancery court.
Sometimes there's a long walk to private equity that goes to the chancery court, but sometimes there's a long walk through the lieutenant governor's office that goes to the chancery court. How about that? All right, we got to finish with this. I want everybody to bow your heads. I think Carl... I wouldn't call it a place of worship, but you have a place of meditation at the UU. I have a place of meditation. It's here. You have a young child now, and you have two young children, but maybe you don't believe in a lot of spiritual stuff. But I think we all have to get together right now and pray. Bow our heads and pray for the ascendance of the Purple Church. The Wilmington Purple Church has to ascend, and the most uncharismatic loser demotion man, not demolition man, demotion man. we got to do something about this because it's bad. And if you guys don't know what I'm referring to, I think you do. We're all in for Velda Jones Potter, and I actually think. I actually think Carney is such a loser, and he exudes loser, and people kind of get that. Jess was saying at the beginning of this, kind of getting behind somebody because you think they're going to win and like waiting and seeing how they operate. Does Velda have a chance?
I want to say yes. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, why not?
I just feel like, yeah, in the
spirit,
let's say
in
yes.
the spirit of the podcast,
let's put it
fuck
out there.
It,
let's manifest
not?
It.
Let's manifest it. That's why I said it's a purple church. We all have to come. Just whatever you do as a spiritual thing, however you do it. If you're a Quaker and you want to sit in silence for 2 days, if you're, you know, if you've come from an Eastern tradition and you want to go in a cave somewhere and just, you know, be, let's manifest Vella Jones Potter as the next mayor of Wilmington. Can we do that, folks? Can we do it?
I'm not convinced about Vella yet.
Jordan, get the fuck out of here.
You don't have the bad vibes.
I'm just, you know, the one of the things that, you know, I'm hung up on is, you know, we all remember Mayor Dennis Williams.
Vividly.
Perhaps not fondly. You know?
I mean, he was a cop as well, so
I mean
ACAB.
And so, I mean, it's just, you know, not a great administration, you know, pretty much by any measure. And she was actually let go of his administration. Because, you know, she used city funds, basically used taxpayer funds, payer funds, for, you know, security at a concert that her son put together.
Okay, how and much like, taxpayer funds and how much, and did she approve them?
I think it was $19,000.
And was that something that she, was that the Parks Department and all the other departments?
I would have to look, but I'm just thinking, oh man, is it to get fired
less,
from Dennis Williams' administration
is... Is it more or less than Dana Long stole from the fucking Bethany Hall Long campaign? Yeah, so it seems like it's less. Seems like it's significantly less.
Well, I'm thinking more like, you know, as a judge of character and like, you know, this, the, you know, Wilmington, you know, having a problem with its kind of like, you know, entrenched networks of, you know, political influence and, you know, she is part of one of those networks too.
Correct.
And, absolutely. And, you know, so I'm not saying... I'm not gonna vote for her. Look. I'm just saying I'm not sold. I'm just saying I'm not sold yet.
None of us are sold. We're just out
here.
We're
just look.
We're just making choices.
We're making a church analogy. You know, we're hearing your confession right now. I feel some like things... I'm a priest. I'm a Catholic priest. I'm hearing your confession. You can put your pants back on.
There's some things that are bigger than all of us, and John Carney losing is one of those.
Yes.
Things.
Yes.
We need that.
Yeah. And again, this is. I completely understand that. There's an entrenched sort of political machine behind the Purple Church, but that entrenched political machine is fucking small potatoes compared to the
entrenched political machine of Buccini Pollen Group,
of Richard Ellis, of fucking Colonial Parking, whatever you want to sell, the Chamber of Commerce, whatever. So, you know, if we're gonna fight a guerrilla war against the fucking, you know, against the Buccini Pollen Group, I'll throw down with the Purple Church.
I mean, that might just be one, though, right? I mean, because you've talked about there are races in this you know, election where you're not going to vote, you know, for various reasons. I mean, this might be the one where I come down and maybe I don't vote, or, you know what, maybe. And now hear me out on this, folks. I want, you know, there is another possibility here. If enough people, in either the primary or in the general, too, we have two different chances of this. Right in Mr. Celery, then we could potentially have a really hilarious result. Like, first name Mr., last name Celery, M-I-S-T-E-R, Celery. You know, if the mascot ends up getting more votes than, like, you know, a third-party candidate or something like that, you know, that would be pretty fucking hilarious.
There's nothing in the rule book that says a mascot can't be made.
You know, and, you know, so, again, like, until...
You don't want to look into the city code right
now. Until I'm sold on one of the candidates, I think I'm going to be a Mr. Celery write-in for Wilmington mayor.
Well, here's the thing. I'm glad you brought this up now. Because, you know, in a primary, you need to be, there's no write-ins because it's a party. The party puts the person up and then you vote for the party, whatever. But in the general, we could do it. We could, I mean, why not?
I think part of the problem, though, is that the season ends basically this week. So
son of a bitch.
He's going to no FaceTime, no campaigning. Like, you'll be going into the heat of the race, I mean, and he'll just disappear.
But has time off, though, to do that type of campaigning because he's no longer Mr. Celery.
I don't think
longer.
The costume will be able to be out in the public.
Yeah, I don't think he's let out of the little tunnel.
Yeah.
He just sits there.
He would only be able to campaign
the
when
is,
the Blue
is,
Rock
is
score,
Mr. Celery,
which is really going to be
Is Mr.
limited.
Celery a slave?
That is definitely the vibe. If you look at him,
I didn't realize, but
standing there in the tunnel,
he's just
really
standing there.
It's
and
really
then
upsetting.
Once in a while, he's let out. I guess they just throw hot
and
dogs
honestly,
down there or something. But
he's
like,
let out a lot less than he used to be. Yeah. He used to be able to cover a lot more ground. They keep him right behind home plate.
I'm actually
right when they get a run, they give him a shot of adrenochrome and then kick him out onto the field.
I'm actually worried about Mr. Celery right now.
Yeah, what is his relationship to the ownership of
because they got the Rocky Bluewinkle.
But they got
this thing locked up in a pen.
Yeah.
It's a humanoid celery stalk. And it doesn't come out. Is it there right now? If we went there now, would it be there? Does the lure? I mean, I don't know if it would be, but does the celery stay in the tunnel? Does the lure dictate that it stays in the tunnel?
I think so.
Carl, how much does a billboard cost?
I don't know. I refuse to do it.
probably not that much.
There has, I mean, probably
a few hundred.
You know, raise enough money around here and, you know, get the celery's face on one billboard.
Do you want to do this? I kind of want to do this.
I mean, it would be fun.
We can't do it before this.
Yeah.
We probably can't do it before Tuesday, but maybe for the general.
For the general?
Yeah.
But again, you can do it now as early as possible because it's going to have to run until the general. And we'll have to figure out exactly because it's somehow, I can't believe I'm thinking like this. Somehow
you have to draft the celery.
Well, you have to demonstrate. You're going to have to teach people or somehow communicate the idea of how when you go to your polling place or when you get your ballot,
how you write somebody in.
Can you just write it? Do you fill out a bubble?
I think, yeah. I mean, the screen there, I think there's a button to push now.
Yeah,
okay.
It's digital. You type it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't abbreviate Mr. People.
M-I-S-T-E-R.
Mr. Celery.
That's going to be important.
Should we just abbreviate it, though?
I think that might be easier, honestly.
You could also write in, if you are Spanish-speaking, Senor Apio, and I think that would also count.
Well, is there anything else we need to get to? And is there any other, I don't think there's any other election-related stuff we need to get to. So
we covered every single election in the state.
We
didn't cover the county ones because no one cares.
What about insurance commissioner? Y'all voting for Trinidad again?
Look, no. I said
again?
ACAB.
Again? When you voted for him once?
I said ACAB before. I stand by it. This week, or this weekend and into next week, there's going to be a big push for the Delaware Call Fall Classic, Saturday, September 21st. We just found out last week that there's another event right in York Lynn, I think at DuPont, who is supplying our bar with beer. They want to do sort of a dual promotion, so there might be a big day. I mean, if the weather's nice, it could be really cool. We're going to have a 19th century baseball game on the grounds of the York Lynn Center for Creative Arts. We're going to have Uncle John's barbecue. It's $60 passes for the tent. We got open bar. Greg will be slinging drinks. I think we're going to have treats, Fusco's water ice.
Nice.
Will we put a shot of vodka in it? I don't know. Talk to Greg about it. I'm not part of it.
Just don't call it a rally. Otherwise, it might get shut down. You have to move it somewhere else.
You goddamn son of a
bitch. This is trying to piss you off.
You're outside of city limits.
I actually did not want to give... I'm not giving anybody an update on that. What Jordan's referring to, obviously, is the positive vibes in the park being kicked out of the city for content. That was reported by Carl Baker and rerun in the Delaware Online. Big ups to Kay Baker. I'm not going to speak about that right now because there's other avenues are being explored. We'll just say that. Yeah, Campos. Big own goal. You just turned around. You smashed one right in the top corner of your own goal. We got your ass.
My amendment.
But anyway.
I'm going to be at the Fall Classic. I'm going to bring my baby.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, the Fall Classic is going to be cool. Especially now, last year we got the lay of the lay. We sort of know how to do it now. It's going to be cool. So, yeah, we'll link to it. Passes are $25. You can just come and hang out. You can bring a picnic if you want. If you want to come and also get the bar and everything, it's $60. We'll put a link to it. It's going to be a good day. And, come out, support local journalism, as we, this is why Jordan is here to make this. We're sort of like doing a telethon. Jordan will now tell you a story about it, why we need this money.
I was actually going to share a story from the last fall classic, where I never saw Matt Meyer more uncomfortable than any other time I had seen him, because I was just like, oh, he's here. I'm going to corner his ass and start talking about express trains. And I fucking did. And he tried to escape. And like, he went to go get like some ice cream and like try to end the conversation.
He was just popping up.
I just kept following him. Yeah. And he was sitting there like,
he was doubling back.
Fumbling for money and like his wallet as he's trying to pay. And
Jordan's
like trying to pretend,
double back.
Pretend like he's listening to me while I'm talking to him. And I just wouldn't let it go. And I just kept talking to him about trains.
He walked in here for his Highlands Bunker episode and saw you and was like, God damn it.
At one point he looked at me and like the way I was like, I realized like it was a look I also like sometimes give my kids, where it's just like, oh my God, this person's still talking to me. Why is this person still talking? Like,
as Jeff said about the train thing online, when Matt said it. Thank you, Jordan. Yeah.
Not giving up.
Jess, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, sure.
Are we okay with the? I mean, he is the senior legal correspondent, but how's he doing as a dad? Is he doing okay?
Oh my God, he's killing it!
Is it killing it?
Yeah, he loves it. It's adorable. I sometimes just sit on the other side of the living room and like look across the room, and I'm like, oh my God, look at these people! I just love so much, and my heart like
big
literally
Bill.
Like does I was gonna backflip.
Say, seeing big fellows like that with a baby is especially cute.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's
a big guy.
He's really tiny,
and the baby's especially tiny in his arms. Yeah,
he's a little peanut. Bill's so big.
Well, here's a shout out to our senior legal correspondent and my friend William Martin Esquire. Left is best.